we got to change what we're doing as instructors. I always hear, and I'm going back to that analogy that I said earlier about, I don't know what we're going to do with the next generation. Well, I can promise you that the next generation and generations after that have done very well. We see the fire service doing very well. You know, part of what I think we have to do is change what we're doing, especially as an officer in instruction.
Breathing in diesel exhaust fumes is like walking into a fire without a mask. Over time, that exposure leads to cancer. Protect yourself with MagnaGrip. To learn more, visit MagnaGrip.com.
Well, thank you for joining another episode of Fire and Training. I'm your host, Douglas Klein, and I'm excited to talk about instructing tonight, talking with our instructors specifically. Going to be focusing in not only on just an instructor, but also our company officers who are the true trainers of the fire service. And I'm really super excited about bringing this education to you, talking about the why before the how. And of course, fire and training is dedicated to the men and women who spend their days and their nights in the streets, 365 days of the year, career, volunteer, doesn't matter. We're taking care of business, making the fire service better, and fire and training is dedicated to giving you the best fire and EMS instructional style training that we can give you. And we're dedicated to making sure everyone goes home. So joining me on the program today is actually one of my own out of the training division here at Horry County Fire Rescue, who's put together a phenomenal program. And it's called the Why Before the How, the modern day approach that we take when we start looking at instructing fire service and the students that we have today. So kind of a long debate and battle that's been going on for some time about how we actually engage our students in today's environment. And people talk about nonstop, I don't know what's wrong with this next generation of fire service leaders, or I don't know what's wrong with the next generation of fire service people. Well, I can tell you, I heard the same thing back January 29th, 1979. And this goes even back farther than that to the Aristotle times when he heard the same comment about the next generation. So Captain Wayne Jones, tell us a little bit about who you are and what's going on.
My name's Captain Wayne Jones. I'm one of the training captains with Horry County Fire Rescue. I have been a member of Horry County Fire Rescue since 1993. I actually started when it was Horry County Fire Department and started as a junior fireman and just kind of got my feet wet that way. And I've never left. I specialize actually in wildland firefighting is my main part. I bring my expert report to the crowd of wonderful instructors that we have, and just really, really love teaching every day. I've found a passion for it, and there's no need to pump the brakes. It's all gas.
Well, one of the things that I've heard people talk about for a number of years now is we always have this generation that's asking the why this, why that? Well, I kind of look at it and I think to myself, when I go back to my early years, is that I always wanted to know the why myself. I wanted to know why we were doing things and why it applied that way. And a lot of times I got the answer because I said so, and, you know, just do it this way. And of course, one of the things we know in modern education worlds and how we teach adults is, and even kids today, is the why is important. In fact, we need to know the why before the how. So let's start talking about that, Captain, and tell me a little bit about your thoughts.
Absolutely, Chief. You said it the best. When I first started, it was because I said so, and you didn't question that. It was because the instructor said, or the senior guy in the firehouse said, that's the way it's got to be. And that style of learning worked, but we started looking at things, and for the last couple of years, we have been dealing with more and more people that have dealt with finishing school during the COVID era. And, you know, super technology based self learners, using tons of technology. And we started doing a little experiment, and we said, well, why don't we try the how first, or not, you know, not the how, but the why. If we explain why this has to happen and then show them the how, see if we get a different response out of it as far as our students and recruits are. And, you know, we've gotten a lot of good feedback on it. I mean, our test scores are going up. It seems like our students are grasping concepts a lot easier. And, I mean, this is the new, if it's not broke, you know, why fix it? This is working.
So one of the things I think about is when we go into this is company officers are the true trainers of the fire service. We have our folks that are in training divisions that are out there teaching. We have instructors who are teaching for state academies and regional academies, or even instructors who are traveling all over the United States and the world speaking. So what is our job as an instructor? What is really our job as an instructor?
Well, if you look at it on the definition of it, our job is to instruct students through lectures and hands-on skills so they're successful with cognitive assessments and psychomotor skills. So beating down the definition, that's what it is. But a lot of things we've also got to think of is we've got to be able to facilitate a positive learning environment where the result of our work is well-trained, successful firefighters. And it doesn't matter if it's a recruit class or we're doing company drills. You know, we want to facilitate it where we're making sure those skills are getting, you know, they're getting solid. People are getting a good understanding of the fundamentals and they're being successful with it. Always in on a positive note.
Well, one of the things that I do know that's super important is that learning environment. And people learn a lot of different ways. And of course, that's taught in the instructor programs when we're teaching you how to be an instructor. But one of the things that comes to my mind is when I go back many, many years ago, when a guy by the name of John Hoagland out of MIFRI was teaching me exactly how to present or how to teach. And you know, he's talking about the learning environment. And he said, one of the things that you have to do is info training, information that you're delivering, getting it to folks. And it's got to be entertaining. And that's where he came up with this info training thing. And let me tell you what, that is really a true concept of getting people engaged where they're enjoying what they're doing. And it's not death by PowerPoint sitting there, people reading from the slides. It's actually a dynamic interaction and conversation that's going on that facilitates strong environments for learning, and it creates that positive environment. And it's neat and really cool when you see folks that are beginning to have the banter and the debate back and forth where it's a positive environment. They're discussing topics. They're discussing how things are, what they've learned, what's worked, what's not worked. And I can promise you, in doing a research project that I did many years ago, I sit down several times with large groups of younger generation folks. And one of the biggest things I hear all the time is these kids, all they want is to have cell phones in their hands or electronic devices in their hands. So as I sit down and we begin engaging, I noticed that the cell phones and those devices started going away. Well, the big thing that I asked them about was, you put your phones down. And their answer back was, we want y'all to talk to us. We want you guys to share. We want to learn from you. And the reason we're on these phones, the reason we're in electronic devices is we're constantly looking for more information or more data that we can learn from. And that's that positive environment that you can create.
Absolutely, Chief. A lot of this come from, I've done an experiment at home with my daughters. I've got two daughters that are in between the ages of 20 and 25. And I took them through a fire model. We'd done fire behavior and gave them the whole PowerPoint slides and everything else. And when it was over with, I said, you know, give me some good, honest feedback. And, you know, they gave it to me. They said, you know, the biggest thing is that it's boring, that they were understimulated. that, you know, death by PowerPoint, just like you said it earlier. It's our younger people are so used to so much technology and stuff, so much going on, is we've got to find other ways to keep them stimulated, keep them engaged. That way they truly are in the grasp of what we're trying to teach and being engaged with us, instead of just sitting there staring at a slide. You know, nothing gets an instructor more excited than whenever he's getting feedback and his students are engaging him in the class.
So, good question for you here. I have an answer in my head. I want to hear your answer. As an instructor, has our job changed in the last 20 to 40 years?
No, sir. Our job has not changed. It is still to take people without any skills or skill sets and teach them those skill sets, teach them that psychomotor and cognitive skills. What we, you know, our delivery needs to change. The material has changed, but our overall job as instructors, no, we still are doing the same thing the instructors done years before us. They're teaching the fire service. Our information is different, and we need to learn to adapt our delivery with the younger generation.
Well, you know, the biggest thing for instructors is, I will tell you that in our realm, we're very dynamic in fire and emergency services. And when we start talking about training is some knowledge, mostly skills-based, but we do need that. Why? We need the knowledge component behind it. And when we start building these blocks, or we start building the wall of what we're trying, or the foundations of what we're trying to get folks to understand, it forms the bedrock for success. And, you know, when we look at this navigating and, you know, looking at the landscapes that we have in today's environment and where, you know, dynamics have changed across the fire service, you know, it requires us to do a lot. But, you know, honestly, instructors, training officers, company officers are at the heart of the mission of the fire service, and our roles are paramount. And what we try to do is we try to take and really weave a tapestry of multiple things, responsibilities, capabilities together, and, you know, creating, you know, the ability for folks to learn, immersing them in dynamic situations and stressful situations through simulations and drills. We're trying to get them to elevate their knowledge through the programs that we're delivering. We're actually coaching and mentoring as we go. And, you know, overall, seamlessly, we're trying to integrate the pioneering technologies that are out there, because we know technology has changed. It's like in the hazmat world, you know, the monitors seem to change about every other day that's out there. But what we're trying to do is get folks down to where they're truly prepared to do the job. And, you know, again, as an instructor, our job has not changed. We've been doing that for years, and I do mean years. So what's changed with our students?
I would say a lot of it has got to do with technology. They're used to, believe it or not, they're very good at multitasking. You got to think, we're dealing with kids that are used to talking on a phone, texting, and watching TV or whatever else at the same time. I mean, I've got a daughter that does her schoolwork running three different monitors at one time. They're really good at multitasking. Another big thing that has changed is look at the age of our students. They're getting younger, believe it or not, from what we're seeing, at least in our recruit side. And like I said earlier, the majority of them are, you know, finishing high school and sometimes college during COVID. They're really good with different platforms that are out there, you know, Zooms, Blackboards, any kind of AI blended learning. They used a lot of this to finish their formal and high school educations. A lot of them were self-taught because they're working and they were doing schoolwork at home. They really weren't used to that teacher-student interaction or being around a bunch of classmates going through like we would in a recruit school. And I would probably say one of the biggest things is coming from that newer time frame we're dealing with. They're not used to the rigorous schedules a lot of the fire classes we have, are based upon. They're not used to taking, 40 hours worth of classroom and hands-on curriculum and then testing on it. They're used to having things more drawn out and stuff. And it's a challenge sometimes to get them used to that faster paced schedule.
And the big thing that I'll say is that most of the folks that we're seeing, even that come through our recruit academy, what I'm seeing across the United States when I'm out, is not used to that rigorous schedule or being very, focused on how to do things and having to stay very attentive to detail. That's one of the biggest things. So when I look at that, one of the thoughts that comes to my mind is, do we need to really change what we teach, or do we have a need to change how we deliver what we're teaching?
I would say we need to work more on our delivery, Chief. What we teach is a good based curriculum. There's no need to change what we teach. I just think as instructors, we need to do a little more homework, find a couple of different avenues. Trial and error works really well. It doesn't hurt us to try a different style for an hour to see if we get our students to click in on it. But I think it's mainly on our delivery. And the hardest thing, firemen hate is changing the way things are. But as instructors, we need to learn to be open-minded about us being able to change our delivery, because our ultimate goal is having successful students. So if we have to change to do that, we need to get to work.
And again, I think you're dead on that. And, we've had to change. I can remember instruction going from the time period that you used overheads and slides, and then, to the PowerPoint world and to all these other, Prezi and many other formats that we can use today. But I go back to the piece that if we're being dynamic in what we're teaching and how we're teaching, it always comes back to the why. It comes back to the why. And it's what we want them to learn. It's what we want them to know. And, as students, I can tell you, if they're engaged or you get them engaged, they're going to be curious. They're going to want to know more. They're going to want to have more information. It's kind of like in the movie Short Circuit. With a robot, number 5, when it says need more input. The more we feed students, it's like giving them salt water. If you've ever been to the beach and you get in the water and get knocked down by a wave and you drink a whole bunch of salt water, you become thirsty. So knowledge, the why, is like salt water. The more you drink, the more you want. The more you get knowledge, the more you get information, the more that you get the why behind the how, and then you can apply the why with the how, the more that it's going to make sense to them, the more that they're going to want to learn and be engaged in what's going on. So we got to change what we're doing as instructors. I always hear, and I'm going back to that analogy that I said earlier about, I don't know what we're going to do with the next generation. Well, I can promise you that the next generation and generations after that have done very well. We see the fire service doing very well. Part of what I think we have to do is change what we're doing, especially as an officer in instruction. Everybody kind of blames the training academy when people come out, well, they don't know a whole lot or they're not really proficient or skilled to the level they want them to be. Well, I can promise you, when somebody comes out of a recruit academy, I don't care what recruit academy it was, they're not going to be a 10-year firefighter. They don't have that carnal base knowledge of running to calls or being the first due company or stretching lines to the third or fourth floor under unreal heat conditions or being in environments that, you know, are different. We try to do stress inoculation all the time with them in our training, but we have got to continue to find dynamic ways to train these folks and to continue getting them more information, getting them engaged and understand in our roles, especially as officers in the street, our job is to continue to train them, to continue to coach and mentor them. And we have got to get away from that old saying, you know, that's the way we've always done it. And because I said so, we've got to get away from that. And we've got to start looking at how the next generation learns what stimulates them. And we've got to change. Let's go back to what we talked about earlier. It's not what we teach. It's how we teach and how we interact with people. And that takes me to the thought process of interpersonal dynamics. And if we think about interpersonal dynamics, that used to be a program at the National Fire Academy, a great program. It was in a series that was there. So part of what it did was help you understand how to interact with people. And that kind of leads me to the thought process. And the concept is we have to adjust. Everything we do is not going to work with every single person, but we have to adjust. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely, Chief. It's almost like you got to put your toes in the water before you jump all the way in. Find out what makes them clicks. Do a little bit of background work on their bio, their background. So we're making, you know, that instructor's selling himself right at the very beginning of a class. So why don't we take a little bit of time and find out about the students? If I can take an hour out of the beginning of a new class with a new group of people, and I can take just a little bit of time to find out some stuff about them, you know, make a little jot in my head about what I might think I might need to change when I go to start this delivery to try to grasp them and keep them involved in the class. And I mean, this, you said it really good. I mean, when we go to teach, we've got to change. And, you know, you said about, you know, we're the company officers, and our company officers do a phenomenal job of teaching in the street. And I mirror what you say a lot of times about, you know, the company officers are the true trainers of the fire service. It's not the training guys at the training division. We help get everybody started, you know, and we try to do the best we can with those rigorous schedules and larger class sizes. And we get them out to the company officers and let them turn them into those 10-year firemen, because they're not going to do that when they first come out.
Well, I think of an analogy that's going to come to my mind. It's kind of a little bit of old school, but I really like it. I'm a Looney Tunes guy. And I really like the concept of Wile E. Coyote, genius by large. And that's what he would always say. That was his business card. Yes. Well, you know, he never caught the Roadrunner, but he never gave up. You know, one of the things he had the ability to do was to adjust. When something did not work, he found another way to approach it. And I think that's part of what we've got to do as officers and instructors is, you know, we may be out there and, you know, people may not be grasping it or they may not seeing it. You know, even if we are given a why first, it's easier to get to the how, and it comes faster when they know the why. But we also have to, you know, kind of think about how do we change that up? How do we get them going? If they show they're beginning to catch it a little bit, maybe it's time to change the environment. Instead of being in that classroom, killing them by PowerPoint, we take them outside and we do it, or we run a small drill, or we do something really quickly that enhances that learning. Part of it is getting them interacted, you know, to the concept. You know, if I can get them to interact with the instructor, I can get them to interact with the group, and I can get them to interact in the situation, then we're beginning to do good. And something to keep in mind is that a large majority of adult learners, even though these kids are younger and coming in, you know, at a different age, one of the things that we have to make sure that we realize is that they are visual learners a lot of times. And to hear it and to see it and then to do it is how they typically learn. What's your thoughts on that?
Absolutely, Chief. Wally Cody had the Acme book about that thick, and every time the first plan didn't work, he would flip to the next page and see what he needed to order next, you know, get a bigger rocket next time. And as instructors, we kind of got to do the same thing. It's a lot of what we do, especially whenever we're learning how to change our delivery, is trial by fire. Try it and see if it works. If it works, we put that one down in the book. If it doesn't, go back to the Acme catalog, find something else to work on. I do it a lot of times when I'm especially doing like pump theory. You know, that's the most driest, boringest thing in the world for a majority of a lot of people. So, you know, we'll do 30, 40 minutes worth of pump theory lecture. And then, you know, it's field trip time. We go outside. We've got an old Hail Q-Max pump that's cut in half, and we take them outside and let them get their hands on it. Show exactly what the parts we're talking about. You know, this is exactly what an impeller looks like. So they can relate to different things, or go back in and we'll start talking about, you know, different discharges and rises and falls and elevation and drafting capabilities. And then, you know, back outside again. Let's look at a regular rig. It's, you know, the in and out. When it gets them moving, they're not stuck behind a desk the whole time. It gives them a break from, you know, the boringness of being in the classroom all the time. It gives them fresh air, recharge their battery real quick, and it makes it more interactive and more fun.
Well, I'm reminded of a video that I've seen multiple times of the late, great Alan Brunicini, who I had as a mentor growing up in the fire service. And I remember him sitting in the, you know, in the atmosphere of him being able to talk and be, you know, just genuine as he was. And he was talking about the new generation, and kind of like what we're doing here, having the same style of conversation. And he was talking about the kids that are coming in, or the people that are coming in today. Our lifestyles and our environments are drastically different than when you and I grew up. And, you know, what we had to do as kids growing up to live or to make things work, especially if you lived on a farm or, you know, just depending on where you actually grew up in the world. You know, one of the things that he talked about was chainsaws. And, of course, those are those vocational style skills that we're talking about. There, many of the folks that are coming in today have never started a chainsaw. They've never had a need to start a chainsaw. Growing up, I can remember, you know, staying with my grandparents, you know, we cut a lot of wood. We split a lot of wood. You know, we had a coal furnace in that house. We'd have to go, if you wanted heat, you went down there and you made sure the fire was going. You know, the things about running plows or tillers and things like that, they don't have a need or don't do that today. It's not that it's bad. It's just they don't have that experience or knowledge that goes with vocational skills. And, you know, that's something that people don't think about a lot, or they, you know, somebody that's been around the fire service for 20 years, like, I can't believe they don't know how to start a chainsaw. And, you know, there was conversation was going on, and Chief Brunicini just made the comment. And he's like, you know, the guy came out and says, I know what you're thinking. How about training them? And he said, yeah, what a novel concept. Go out and spend some time with them and show them and train them. That's really the job of an officer, and it's critical. And you think about all the things that you do from a day-to-day basis, from pumps to hose stretches to ladders. You know, a lot of these people have never done that stuff, and it's important that we put the extra work in. And when I think about extra work, it's like, how do we cover? What props do we get? What do we build? You know, what type of quizzes can we get them? How can we challenge them? You know, we've got to have folks that are putting in the extra work as instructors. And tell me a little bit about what I know you do, especially as a state instructor traveling around. What extra work do you put in?
You know, one thing I started doing with this concept is we started doing Jeopardy, and there's another app that's called a Kahoot. We started taking all the quizzes. If you look in the IFSTA manual, there's a chapter quiz for every part through, no matter what classes you go through. You can pull those quizzes up to help your students study. And, you know, technology is the big thing right now. Everybody's used to using it. And we found it being a really good way to get the class interactive, doing study time, really good reviews of the material we have been lecturing. We build Kahoots and, you know, a Kahoot game on the chapter quiz, or then we build a Jeopardy game, and it's interactive on their cell phones. They can, you know, they're racing each other to see who can get the answers done the fastest. And, you know, and we kind of make it fun with them. Okay. Whoever wins, you know, the chapter Kahoot at the end of the day, you get out of mopping the floor, you know what I mean? And it kind of a little reward for doing well. And it is a decent platform for them learning. It helps them, you know, study. And if it's what's working, that's what we should do. I mean, we don't have any reason not to do it if we're finding out that it's being positive and effective in helping them be better students and learning our material better.
You know, I think about an old saying that is true today that I learned many years ago when I first started instructing. It's our job to do whatever we can to make sure that every student has the best opportunity to be successful. And I've heard a lot of people say, and I've heard a lot of officers say in my lifetime, well, I got mine. It's up to them to get theirs. Well, it's like this. I'm sure somebody probably helped them get theirs. It's your job. It's our job. It's everyone's job to help each other. That's part of what our business is about. And whether you're a bona fide, certified, 100% credentialed instructor, or you're that senior firefighter that has a lot of knowledge that you're sharing, it's your job to make sure that we're making everyone or giving them the best opportunity that they can have to be successful, which means you got to go about things sometimes in a lot of different, you know, directions. And again, going back to my old friend, Wile E. Coyote, if you're not successful the first time, you break out that Acme catalog, you find another rocket or set of skates or, you know, car or whatever he pulls out of the next Acme catalog that gets delivered to his doorstep, you know, to make this successful for our students. And again, that kind of comes back. So what are we really doing? What are we investing in? What do you think we're investing in, Cap?
We're investing in the future of the fire service, Chief. Somebody took the time to invest in us, so we owe it to the future we're teaching to carry on the legacy that was poured onto us. You know, Paul Combs is an amazing illustrator and cartoonist, and a lot of the stuff he does tells stories that are worth $1 million plus if you could write it on the check. And there's one that comes to mind. It's framed. It's inside my office. You know, it's the old guy with glasses with the instructor T-shirt. And it says, you know, I can't wait to share what I know. Let's get started. You know, and on the, you know, it talks about the traits of being a great instructor. You know, master the subject we're teaching. Set high expectations, but let them know what they are. They're never going to be able to achieve them if they're not knowing what they are. You know, the biggest thing was we've got to be flexible. We've talked about that earlier. You know, if we're not being flexible and willing to change in how we deliver our stuff, can we really truly expect the newer generation to do well? It's our job to adapt to them. You know, they're going to adapt to the culture of the fire service, but the ways of learning have changed drastically, and we need to change as instructors. I mean, and, you know, you said it brought up something earlier, and I've heard it too. And I'll be honest, I've probably said it myself over the course of years, you know, not constantly, but everybody's done it at least once. And, you know, I've got my certs, but it is my problem. you know, looking at it, you know, doing what I do now, I got to learn to respect my students, and instructors got to respect their students as well. It's about them. It's not about you. You know, you said it exactly. I've got my cert, so it's not about us. It's about us making them successful, because if they don't get their certs, what does that say about us as instructors? Are we really going through the extra work and doing what we, everything possible we can to make these people successful? And you said it earlier, there's some people that are not going to be successful. And, you know, everybody's not cut out for this, but we owe every person that puts into work everything we've got to help them get to the milestone they want to be at. And, you know, one of the biggest things is you talked about death by PowerPoint. Really good instructors learn how to teach beyond the slide. Every one of us has been in a class where the guy's clicking the PowerPoint and he's reading the slide. And just about everybody inside the class is saying, if you hand me that clicker, I can talk it on myself. You know, you can go ahead and go take a break, because every one of us can read what's on the slide. We've got to make sure we're teaching beyond that. Show the students the passion we have for what we're trying to teach them. That helps keep them engaged, you know. And, you know, don't be scared to show them. You know, one of the sayings that, you know, aggravates me and makes a lot of people's blood boil that's in our line of work is the old saying of those who can't teach. And that is so far from the truth. You know, get out and show those guys, engage in it. Here's the thing though. Make sure to do your homework. Make sure you're 100% on what you're teaching. You know, it's our job to lay down the roadmap for them and help them get there.
Well, that's one of the things that comes to mind is to teach is to learn twice. I was taught that early on in my career of being an instructor, and that's really important. You mentioned a good friend of mine, Paul Combs, dynamic instructor, dynamic cartoon and artist. He just does a phenomenal job. And one of the ones that sticks out to me, and sitting here thinking about Chief Brunicini and some of the others that I've had like the best of the best mentors in my career. In fact, I could live like one lifetime and not get out of debt, live the second lifetime, not get out of debt, live the third lifetime, not get out of debt to Dan Jones, who did a phenomenal job of affording me opportunities and teaching me things that I never would have had the opportunity to learn unless I was underneath his wing. And that's the picture that comes to my mind is the firefighter or the fire officer who has his arm around somebody, and it changes from an arm to a wing that Paul Combs illustrated so well. And it is about the future of the fire service. And we have got to realize that our future, anytime you think about your future, you're investing in it. From the point that we start working towards retirement, whatever it is, or trying to buy a house, trying to buy a car, we're making an investment. So anytime we bring somebody new into the fire service, no matter where they're from, what walk of life they're from, it doesn't matter. When they come into the fire service, to the brother and sisterhood, it's our job to invest in them, to make them the best firefighter that they can become. When we're investing in folks that are trying to be officers, it's our job to invest in them, give them everything we can possibly give them, push them, challenge them to be the best fire officer that they can be. And we've got to show them something. One of the things that drives me insane, and I mean, it's a short drive anymore. I can stay in the same parking place and not even move, but it drives me insane when people talk about they don't love this job, that they don't have a love for the job. You know, the big thing that I see is with mentors and coaches, people that are passionate, that are really investing in the future, have a love and a passion for this job, and they want to share it. And they want to share that love and passion of the job with others. And people sometimes like, well, this is just really a job for me. Well, no, if you're in it and you've got that much passion, it's a career. And we don't want to wait for them to finish school before they get under somebody's wing. And we see that quite frequently in academies across the United States. I've got to witness, you know, people in all regions and all areas when I'm out, and I get to go to these graduations and things that, you know, they'll have somebody coming on stage that was a mentor to them. And it doesn't matter if it was the fire service, it doesn't matter if it's somebody in their personal life, but somebody has taken them under the wing. And really what is one of the cooler things is when somebody asks another firefighter or fire officer to come up and pin them, and they list them as their mentor. And that means that they've actually done something for them. And for a great deal of students, you might, as the instructor, be the first mentor that they've ever had. They may have never had anybody that took a vested interest in them. They may have never had anybody that cared about them the way that instructors and training officers and officers care about their people. And that's unique. That in today's society is something that is relevant. And I know that you probably see that on a regular basis.
Absolutely, Chief. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. We see a lot of people coming in now that, you know, they didn't play a lot of sports. You know, they didn't have a lot of after school activities. They didn't have coaches, stuff like that, people in our age had. COVID really hurt a lot of what we're dealing with. They didn't have the interaction as much. They didn't have the teachers that they were constantly with all the time to have that mentoring aspect. And, you know, we see it sometimes around us as absolutely. Sometimes we're the first people they've had that actually shows like they care about whether they succeed or they fail. And the biggest thing I can think of is, you know, be the mentor you wanted to have. If you had a great mentor, you know, mirror it. Like you said with Chief Brunicini, and I'm sure you've got a list of others. I mean, do for them what was done for you. Pass it on. You know, don't wait until they go, until they graduate and go out to the firehouse before somebody's going to put them under that wing and start showing them the love for the job, the love for the career, you know, pride and ownership in what we have. I mean, that starts right in school and at the very beginning. It shouldn't start once they graduate. You know, a recruit academy, it's like I said before, we wear so many different hats, and, you know, mentor hat's one of them too. And it, absolutely, as an instructor, there is nothing more fulfilling than on graduation day, whenever you hear that one of your recruits wants you as their instructor to go up and pin that badge on them. It's just it's a highlight of the career. I mean, it really is. It's, 'cause that means, you know, you fully got them. I mean, they love everything there is about it. They appreciate everything you've done, and it's just really rewarding.
Well, I think about some of the people when you were mentioning people that were, you know, around you, and I can think about it, and I can start naming names. I mean, I can go through, you know, Chief Brunicini. I can go through Bobby Halton. I can go through Dan Jones, Bill Genoway, Bob Fleming, Harry Carter. The list can go on, and there's a lot of people. One of the first people that challenged me when I came to Horry County, and I considered him a very knowledgeable individual, slightly cantankerous at times, but very knowledgeable individual, and would challenge folks and truly cared about them. And that was Johnny Blanton. He was a captain, and he had one question he always liked to ask you, and it was about fire extinguishers. And people just really didn't take fire extinguishers all that serious. Oh, it's a fire extinguisher, or it's, you know, it's a ABC, or it's a type A, it's a water can. But he would ask you questions about that, and that were important questions that you really needed to know, because if you were going to use that as a tool, you needed to know everything about that tool. And he could tell you just about anything you wanted to know about firefighting or the aspect of it. He was a good instructor. Now, you talk about a gruff, coarse, hold you accountable type person, he was that guy. But, you know, again, somebody like Johnny Blanton, how many people do you think he impacted over the years as he went through his career here? I mean, tons and tons of people.
I can think, you know, I remember the days with Captain Blanton. He was rough around the edges, but I mean, he made it his mission to make sure you know everything that's going on with your job. And he didn't mind spending extra time to make sure you had it. I mean, I can think of I'll tell you, one of my biggest mentors throughout my fire service career with Horry County was Bill Burns. I mean, you want to talk about somebody that would tell you like it was. I mean, but you know, he truly loved the job, and he truly wanted to make sure that everybody around him was really good at understanding why. I mean, my first day working with him in Sauk back in 2001, he gave me this old red book. It was published back in the 40s, and it's, you know, Fundamentals of Fire Streams, and looks at me and said, "Here you go, young aviator. Read this. It's your new Bible." I mean, but he was putting the why in me, so that way I could ask the questions, get the answers. He sent me a text message the other night about asking about how everything was going. I mean, the man's retired. You know, he's still volunteering a little bit, but I mean, his days of mentoring still haven't stopped. He's still checking on me 20 years later, making sure everything's going good.
Well, that just kind of is one of those things. And I know you're like me, and I know you're like many of the other folks that we know across the United States and instructors that we get the opportunity to be around. And I call it going to the well. And Paul Combs, again, has a great illustration about that. Never stop drinking it up, the well of knowledge. And that's, you know, the opportunity to network with people and to learn more. It's phenomenal. And I think about, you were talking about pride and ownership and passing on and all of those. And, you know, I think about folks like Billy Goldfeder and Rick Lasky. You know, anytime you can get around those, you know, people, those type of people, it's the network of instructors that are going to share with you. They're going to be there. You know, I just, there's so many people that are just dynamic, fundamental, awesome instructors that have so much knowledge to share. And the reason they're successful is going back to what we talked about in the very beginning. Our mission hadn't changed. Our why, what we do, has not changed. Our how has changed. How we deliver to students, how we approach things, how we go about doing things. You know, I think about, you know, John Sokka talking about, you know, he said, "It's a different world when I'm in my volunteer setting versus what I did with FDNY." You know, he's in a rural portion, you know, and part of his retirement, in a rural fire department in upstate New York. But he talks about the differences. And, you know, Rick Lasky is now out west a little bit, and in a smaller department doing, you know, some neat things. Those guys just are not going to retire. They're like the rest of us who have that true love and passion for the job. And you know, they're constantly going to the well. The one thing that I will tell you about all these people that we're talking about, Chief Brunicini, Bobby Halton, when he was alive, both of those mentors are passed on now. John and Rick and you know, Dave Dodson, all those people, you know, Paul Combs, you know, Mike Galliano, all those people are going to the well. And they're going to learn as much as they can. They go to classes, they listen to folks, they engage with folks. And the biggest thing of it is they don't have this, "I've already done it. I don't have anything else to learn." They're at the point, and this is one of the things I want to drive home here at the end of this program, is to know that what you don't know that you don't know is what scares you. You know, there's a lot that you know, we still don't know. There's a lot that we probably not experienced in our careers that others may have. And to be able to go in there and learn vicariously from them of, you know, the whys, and then learn about the hows, and be able to put those together is so important. And that's that well of knowledge that we need to be going to drink from all the time. And as an instructor, you have to go drink from that well frequently, because if you're not updated and you're not current, people are going to call you out. And one of the things that sticks in my mind is when we were doing all the research through ISFSI and working with UL and NIST, I was talking about basement fire studies, and I knew when it was coming out, and I was going through some of that dynamics, and there was a young kid sitting in the back of the room, and of course, at my age now, everybody's kind of a young kid. I understand why I always got called kid, you know, growing up and coming through the fire service, but, you know, he was sitting in the back of the room, and it was like he had, you know, probably two phones out, an iPad, a computer. He might have had a satellite phone talking to, you know, Pluto or wherever. But I asked him a question. I said, can you tell me anything I said in the last 10 minutes? Can you recap it? And he looked up and he just gave me like a phenomenal Reader's Digest version. He said, and by the way, I can validate and confirm what you were saying about the study because it's out. It just posted 30 minutes ago. And I'm like, good talk. It wasn't supposed to come out till tomorrow at 9 o'clock, but it's out ahead of time. But that's the way the younger generation, and I won't call them kids because some of them aren't kids anymore, but the younger generation that's coming through, is they learned different in the school. And I want to bring this out, and you can validate this with your girls from giving you the feedback. Going through school, we were taught to quantify everything. Okay, 2 + 2, show your math, do all that type of stuff. When they go through school today and having an education background, I learned this even in the 80s, is that not only do you quantify, but you also have to qualify everything you do. And that's exactly how the kids are learning today. You know, we etched on stone tablets, as I call it, but today they're hitting the keypad and they can validate and quantify and qualify everything that's going on. And they look for that. And that's part of how they learn. And we've got to understand their learning process. And you said this, we got to do it different. It's not that we're doing it wrong. It's not that we are having to do something that's not right. We're just adapting with the times. And that's something we've got to do. We have definitely got to adapt.
Yep, with the test. And you said it there. Yeah, we're not doing anything wrong. We just need to learn to do it a little different. Because if we can, like I said before, if we can make it to where they can understand it better, we are doing the fire service a disservice if we're not changing to make it to where they can understand it better and ultimately end up doing their job better.
Absolutely. So I'm going to circle back around. What is our job as an instructor? It's to facilitate a positive learning environment where the end result of our work is a well-trained and educated and successful employee, volunteer, whatever we want to call them. Let's just drop all those titles and call them a firefighter. That's what we're after. An EMT, firefighter, EMT, firefighter, paramedic, somebody that's going to people's sides on the worst days of their life and making it better. That's our job. That's honestly what we're required to do as an individual in the fire service, is to share everything we know. And I'll leave you with a thought before we kind of wrap up here. Knowledge is power. Only if we share it. So, kind of been going almost an hour, Cap. Give me some of your parting thoughts here.
All right. So, some of the parting thoughts is just kind of like what we were saying before. We're not doing anything wrong. Every instructor I've ever dealt with does a really good job of getting information out. We know what we're doing. We know how to handle the skills. All I'm thinking of in this whole aspect is just we need to learn to be open-minded to tweak things a little bit. That's kind of what we're talking about here. We're not talking about swiping the table clean and starting from scratch. We're just tweaking our delivery. Just turn it around for just a second and see how much of a difference you actually get in your students. Or if you're doing a drill at the firehouse, you know, explain why we need to do this and then show them how. See if you guys in the firehouse pick it up a little better. It really just sparks an open conversation aspect to where, because like we were talking about earlier, you know, having that engagement. And when your students are bouncing back and forth, we know we're doing something right because they're wanting to know more. We want them to be thirsty and constantly drink from that well you're talking about. You were talking about networking earlier. You know, everybody doesn't have the opportunity to be able to go to FDIC and experience that. But you do have a lot of people around in your areas that you can contact with this that are instructors. You know, a good friend of mine, Russell Lambert, he's an instructor in Clarendon County. I bounce ideas off of him all the time. Hey, have you tried this? He goes, yeah, it works great. Okay, I'm going to try it and see how it works. Or he'll call me and ask me, you know, how are you doing your pumps class? Are you trying any kind of anything different with the way you're showing them skills? I mean, don't be scared to bounce out and, you know, ask for some assistance or ideas or pointers. Or that's what it's all about, because no matter what, every instructor across the country, our end goal is to make successful firefighters. I mean, and that's what it's all about. Like I said before, you know, it's not about us anymore. It's about them. So we need to do everything we can to help them.
Well, I couldn't agree more. The biggest thing that I'm going to leave our listeners with is this. If you're not sharing and you're hoarding information, then we're never going to be successful. You're not very powerful, as I will call it. And that power of sharing your knowledge impacts so many people. It impacts not only the firefighters, it impacts the public. It has a huge ripple effect. And we've really got to get past some of the, this is the way we've always done it. Or, you know, we can't change. You know, that's not how it's done. I think one of the things that we learned during COVID was that we could do online learning. A lot of people didn't think that we could do these meetings. I remember 20 plus years ago, I did a superhighway network program to where I sat in the Piedmont of North Carolina and spoke to people on the coast and in the mountains, and they could interact with me and I could interact with them. And it was a pilot program to see how it went. Nobody jumped on board that. And then all of a sudden, you know, we hit COVID and people were all over Teams and Zooms and we're doing educational programs, and the colleges have been embracing, you know, online learning for a period of time now with Blackboard and some of the programs they have that you can be live and interact within work groups and things like that. So I think we've got to get out of the traditional mindset that this is the way we've always done it. I think we've got to get into a new mindset of being fresh and keeping it fresh, and remembering that our people learn different than what we used to. Their experiences are different. Their skill sets are different, actually. So in doing this, I think we've got to challenge ourselves. It's not that the next generation has a problem. It's more than likely that if you look in the mirror and you point the finger, it's going to come right back at you that we're the ones that have the problem when we're delivering things. And especially as instructors, especially as officers, we've got to have a passion for the people. And that's something that a lot of folks have lost. I will tell you now, I see it everywhere I go. And a lot of our folks, especially our officers, have lost the passion for the people and a passion for teaching, especially if you're an officer. So leaving that as a parting thought, you know, Cap, I want to thank you for being on. I know this is kind of one of your brainchilds that you've put together. It's a phenomenal concept and the program. I wanted to share it with our listeners. Thank you so much for coming on board. Thank you for what you do for me and for our department in Horry County, but also what you've now done for a large cadre of instructors across the world. And I'm very, very privileged to have the opportunity to share through Fire Engineering Clarion with Fire and Training. Again, I'm your host, Douglas Klein. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Fire and Training. Hope to see you on a edition soon. Till then, stay safe, train hard, and remember, everything we do should be focused on everyone going home.